It's good to be back at church here. Had a good day this morning. I believe the Lord was there. I love when He shows up because I just don't like standing up here by myself. And just in case you didn't know, we're in a battle. I believe the churches are in a dry desert wilderness full of drought and dead men's bones. I mean, my goodness, it costs to be soldiers. He says, thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And me and Brother Jim were talking in the back. I said, you know, we're called to be a body of Christ. I said, it's hard to do things when you don't have both arms. Jim said, that may be true, but it's hard. It's impossible to do anything without the head.
Amen. That's good.
Whew. It's hard to do anything without Jesus Christ, and that's where the churches are today. They've forgotten the head. Not only the head, but now we're starting to chop off the arms, the hands, the feet, the fingers, the toes. We're not a body of Christ. We're not unified like he called us to be. I mean, He calls us to get in the trenches with each other, and people are running from the trenches. They're running from what He called us to be. And I'm just telling you now, we can see what's going on in America. If we could put the head back in its place and the body come back together the way Jesus called, I think we'd have more victory here in the churches. I believe that. I believe that. Josh, by the way, boy, you can sing, man. If you've never had the pleasure of standing up here and hearing Joshua sing, when he gets it, woo! Sunday, I'm just telling you, submit unto the Lord, brother. See what He's going to do with you. Don't know. Many years ago, for 40 years, I tell you what, I didn't stand up here planning on Jesus calling me to preach. You don't know what He's going to do with you. But I tell you what, let Him use you, brother. Let Him use you because you got a voice. Voice. Don't go out there making worldly money. That won't do you any good. People think, yeah, I want to be rich and famous and I want to have power and all that, you know. And they're committing suicide just as fast as the poor people, the medium people. I mean, there's no happiness in that garbage. Me and Amy come to the fact we'd rather struggle and rely on God than have everything we need. It's just easier relying on Him. I mean, I'm just telling you, when that desert comes and that bank account dries up, where's your faith? Where's it at? You know, He calls us out to be soldiers. He's going to put us through some things. I taught that this morning over there in Sile. He calls us to be a soldier. And I took and did a side-by-side comparison of the United States military and Him calling us to be soldiers. And I'll tell you, you'll never get through boot camp. First of all, you can't even get into boot camp unless you're ready to be saved. Second of all, when you're saved, you'll never get out of boot camp and get into personal training if you can't make it through what He puts you through. You know what happens to those people? Nothing. Their lives absolutely turn out to be nothing. No, I don't see anywhere where the Lord promised us that it would be easy. Over and over again in the Bible, you see how hard, you know, strengthen up, rely on the Lord. He gives you the armor. I mean, He gives you the Word of God. He gives you all this stuff and He prepares you and He tells you it's going to be a hard thing. It's going to be a hard battle. You know why? Because you're not just fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting the devil. You're fighting the spirits. There's a battle raging right now in heaven. Listen, you know how I know that? Last week, Tuesday was the preacher's fellowship. I had things planned for Tuesday. I had totally forgotten about the whole thing until Pastor said, hey, you're going to, he goes, I won't be able to make it. He goes, but you'll be there. I texted the next day. I said, I can't make it. He said, boy, I sure hate to hear that. And the more I went on Monday, I said, Amy, I got to go tomorrow. I said, the Lord's just, He won't leave me alone. I have to go. And so I was supposed to meet up with somebody, and the times got mixed up. I have no clue where I'm going in Pennsylvania. I'm punching the GPS. You know, the devil's trying to stop me from going for some reason. And I'm on the way there, I'm rolling, and the Lord just gives me a vision. I'm not talking about a visual. I wasn't tripping on acid and eating mushrooms. The Lord just laid something on my heart. And it came out of Isaiah 4:6. Go ahead and read that at home. A refuge. A place of refuge. He laid this on my heart. And I've asked people to go out and pray. I've asked people to pray. And I want to go out and get into the full thing because I really want the Lord to lay it on people's heart. So I get out there and I'm at the preacher's fellowship and I sit there. I sit down and I look up and the very first thing I see is this verse. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I kid you not. Now, if I didn't go to that pastor's fellowship, I would have never seen that.
Amen.
I believe the Lord confirmed that to me. That there's a vision in my heart He's given me. And I'm going to wait for Him. And I'm going to pray on a daily basis that He'll make that thing come true.
Amen.
And it's going to be a refuge. A refuge. A place of refuge. Now imagine the devil is fighting me all the way not to go to that pastor's fellowship.
Yeah.
Fighting me. I had everything planned out. Now I'm going to miss my ride. I had to get there and this and that. I'm just telling you. I think I would have missed something if I didn't go. I told Amy, I said, babe, I put everything aside to go to that thing. And I mean, I did. I had stuff all planned out. I had stuff I had to do, take care of. And I just threw it all aside. I said, I'm going. And I went. Well, you know, a lot of times I'm new in this thing. And sometimes I can get pretty, I can attack a lot. I don't mean to be such an attacking person, but I believe the Lord gives me something that I'm fervent about it. I mean, I'm heartfelt. I mean, I really want people to know. I mean, it's just something that is so convincing to me that I want to convince other people. And sometimes I can, you know, go ahead and I can take that and maybe come out the wrong way. And I feel bad when I do things like that, but who am I to be obedient to? Man or God, I just have to be obedient to God and let Him deal with it. And so, after last Sunday at 1 o'clock, I felt real bad. I thought maybe I might have offended somebody or something. And I didn't feel bad because of what I said, because I know it was from the Lord, but I just felt, man, maybe I just didn't do it right. You know, week after week, you guys stand up here and you hear me and you see how I really get into this thing and what it means to me and such. And so the Lord put on my heart, why don't you tell Him why? So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to spend the next few weeks methodically going through, and not intellectually. Okay, I'm going to come at you why I believe a King James Bible is the true Word of God. Not intellectually, because I'm not there yet. But personally. Personally, why there's not a doubt in my mind the King James Bible is God's perfect word. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a question about it. There's not, and I want to go through slowly of what the Lord just gave me last week on why I believe the King James Bible is God's only one and only word. I believe that. It's perfect. It's perfect. And I'm going to start off with something that I wrote. It says, when people ask, how can you believe a King James Bible is real? My answer is, how have you learned about history? By man's books and their account on what happened? Why are you not worried about it being corrupt or inaccurate or contradicting? How do you know they wrote down exactly what happened to a T? Were you there to prove it, or did you just take man's word for it? Many books were written in different languages and were then written into English. So why would you believe them and not believe God? Could have done the same in the King James Bible. Why would you believe a newer version of the Bible would be more accurate than the one that's been around for hundreds of years? Who taught you these versions were right and the King James Bible was corrupt and inconsistent? Man? If you believe a King James Bible was only written by man, then who's written other books? Man? 1 Timothy 1:3-4 says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, and thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. The word is clear that it teaches here, don't just believe what man says or writes or gives an account to, but doctrine, the word of God. The Word of God, the King James Bible, is the doctrine. It is what He wants us to take into our hearts. He wants us to learn. And this is what I said this morning. I said, when you're in the military and you go through basic training, they will blindfold you, make you take your gun apart and put it back together over and over again until you got that absolutely down perfect. What happens in the day our Bibles are taken from us? Do you know your weapon? What happens when you're blindfolded? Do you know? Do you have your Bible? Do you know it enough that you'll be able to live it, preach it, love it? If this soldier has to tear his gun down blindfolded and know how to do it with no problems in a matter of seconds, should you not be doing that same to your weapon?
No.
It's what it said. It's what it said our weapon is. It's the Word of God. Should we not know our weapon? Should we not know our sword inside and out? I'm afraid to say it, but I believe that maybe in my lifetime, King James Bibles may be outlawed. And if they are, am I going to be able to stand up here and preach in a church that my whole in the house or in the cave, concentration camp? Do I know my weapon? I think we ought to get on the ball and learn what our weapon is. If Jesus Christ, the devil, took him up on the and tempted him with all these things, what did Jesus Christ use? He used a word to defeat the devil. And it says the devil left him. You want the devil to leave you? You want your flesh, your sin nature to leave you? You know, you need the word. You need your weapon. You need what God has given you to defeat this thing. But people are so caught up in the controversy of whether a King James Bible is right or is an NIV right or this and that, and they're missing every bit of it. It's so much easier to take what man says than what God says. You know, I'd like to see a show of hands here, if you want. How many believe that God is all powerful and there's nothing He cannot do? How many believe that, really? Then why couldn't He give us a perfect Bible? Just tell me, why do you think in your little brain that God can't give us a perfect Bible? Why can't He? It's not impossible for God to do such a thing. But yet, that's the big controversy. No, there's this and there and there's that. You know what the problem is? People are too lazy to study and read their Bibles to find out that those things they think are inconsistent are not. They just haven't put the puzzles in the right place. That simple. People have become lazy. Study to show thyself proven unto God. That's no longer stands. That is no longer in anybody's heart anymore. But they're okay with that. Because they serve a weak God. They serve a powerless God. And that God is themselves. You're right. It's hard for you to believe in King James Bible. Because you're too worried about what you believe. You're too worried about you and your thoughts. You're too worried about what some man might stand up there and say, and you don't have to have a Bible. Don't worry about it. That Bible means nothing. I heard somebody quote the other day. They told somebody who's dear to me, and you can see the seat is empty. It's okay to miss church. It's okay to miss church. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as some are. The Bible says you're not to forsake the assembly. You're supposed to be here when the church doors are open. But they'll listen to a man very quickly and put down the King James Bible because it tells them. You know, it makes you see what you really are. And you know, a lot of people don't want to see that. Let me move on because I get stuck. The Word is clear on what it teaches here. Don't just believe what man says, writes, or give the account, but doctrine, the Word of God. We are not to teach these things as if they were doctrine. And that's what he was talking about here. They're trying to take these genealogies and these fables, and they're trying to turn them into a doctrine. He says, don't get into that garbage. Stay in the Bible. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with what God has given you, and you can't go wrong. I'm just telling you this, if you live a life according to the Word of God, if you preach a Bible according to what God has given you, and it lines up with what this has to say, you don't have to worry about endless genealogies and fables. You'll always come out with the Word of God. You'll always come out doing what He wants you to do. Is that such a hard command for people to follow? It must be, because they can't follow it. You know what it says? He says here that neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which what? Minister questions rather than godly edifying. And that's all they're doing is questions about this and questions about that and this and that. And you know what? The edification of God, the Bible, the King James Bible, what He wants to do. You know what? There's no edifying. They're trying to tear it down. Because they're so caught up in this whole mess. It's going to get better, I promise. I know you're ready to fall asleep and take a nap and everything, but you know what? May the Lord wake you up. God is good. He sat down, and I sent this to the pastor. I sent a copy of it to him. Because I believe the Lord really just, you know, intellectual. Do I know things? Sure, I can come at you with this, and that doesn't mean you're going to believe it, but I want to come at you with a personal belief. Jesus Christ gave me a personal belief in this Bible. Okay? I mean, it's not just somebody who can stand up here and defend it because of educational way. There's a personal way to a King James Bible. And I think a lot of people have left that out. They've left a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because they're so busy trying to prove for this one and prove for that one. God will give the people who are supposed to do that. I believe that's one of pastor's callings. That's what he was called for. No, there's no question in my mind. But then there are us who can do the same, not as good, but on a personal level. Personal level. Just on a personal level. And I think that's what God gave me. And I thank God for it. There are words, thoughts, and opinions of man. The Bible is God's opinion of man. You see, history and all that, documents that can say this happened, that happened. They have artifacts and so on. They do with the Bible as well. But listen to me. Man's opinion is what they write down. The Bible is God's opinion of man and where you stand with him. That's what the Bible is. It's God's opinion of man and where you stand with him. And it's very, everything that is in this Bible is very important to God. And therefore, he gave it to you. That's how important it is. I've had people tell me, well, we don't live in the Old Testament anymore. Let me just tell you this. If God didn't want you to have the Old Testament, it wouldn't be sitting in front of you in the King James. There's a reason. And you know what? Pastor tries to hit on that very hard. You go ahead and read Paul's writings. I'm not even going to get ahead of myself. I will get ahead of myself. Cannot God preserve his word? Or is he too small and weak to do so? And man can do it better with these new versions. That's the attitude it's become. Man knows what they're saying better with these new versions, so therefore God can't do it. That's their attitude. What is so wrong with this? Here's what the problem is. The problem is they're becoming too learned. Pride is puffing them up. So they think they need something different. They can't settle down with the one thing that's going to show them and save them and guide them and direct them and be on a personal level. Money is the root of all evil. Money. Money, money, and money. You can go ahead and have your money, have fun with it, and I'll see you on the other side if you're not already burning in hell because you'd rather have money than what God has to say. God forbid. Why can't we get out of that garbage? Let me just keep going. A King James Bible convinced me it was right and true. It showed me who I was and how I stood in the eyes of God. It changed my life, my heart, my mind, my desires, my clothes, my conscience. Something no book has ever done or could ever do. It went against all of what man believed. And in the Bible, we read God's thoughts. Listen to me. The Bible will go against every thought you ever thought was right. Why? Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it go bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be of the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I mean, the last time I checked, everlasting meant everlasting. His word, listen to me, God is not going to come down on our playing field. He's not going to come down to our level of thinking. But that's exactly what these people are doing. They're coming down on trying to bring God down on their level of thinking. And on their level of thinking, they're coming up with all these Bibles, churches, and music. Why? Because it's on their thinking level. It's on their playing field, not God's. Listen to me. God is not going to stoop down to our level. He did it once here. That's it. It's all it took. But man and pride is still trying to bring God down to their level. And I'm going to tell you right now, He is not going to do it. He is not going to come down to your level. Hey, that's all right. You listen to what you want to listen to. You read whatever Bible you want to read. But I'm just telling you now, God's not in it. I can promise you He's not in it. You know why? Because it stoops down to your level. The Bible goes above your level. I'm just telling you, that music, those Bibles will bring you down to a level God never intended you to be. Never. Intends you to be on a higher level. On a higher level of thinking, a higher level of living, a higher level of a way of life. That's what a King James Bible does. I'm going to tell you now, since I started living a King James Bible, I live my life higher now than I ever did in my entire life. Like, I'm not made full of pride. I mean, my life is on a different level than I ever could have imagined. It's on a miracle level. That's what I call it. A miracle level. I told him this morning. I said, I couldn't even fathom. I still can't fathom. I wish I could pull my heart out and show you on a movie screen how much I can't believe I am where I am today. It was not because of me. It was not because I tried to bring God down to my level. And He brought me up to His. He's still bringing me up to His. I'll never be perfect. But you know what happened? I graduated boot camp. And now I'm in what they call AIT. I'm in the personal training. My God's going to personally train me for the rest of my life. Until He comes to get me. He's going to train me. And He's going to take things. And every little thing that He takes out of me, just like the military, is going to tear you down. Tear you down. Tear everything about you down. Take your clothes away from you, every thought you ever had, and they're going to tear all that out of you, and they're going to build you into something they want. God does the same thing. Gives you new clothes, a new thought. When situations come up, how you used to handle it, you won't handle it that way anymore. You see, He puts you through all this. As a matter of fact, He calls it the fiery furnace. The furnace of affliction in Isaiah. The furnace of affliction He put you through. Why? Because He's going to tear down the very thoughts, your very heart, your very mind. He's going to tear that down, and He's going to put in what He wants to put in there, not what you want to be in there. The military does the same thing. Why? So that you're battle ready, that you can go out there and do what He called you to do. I told them, I said, could you imagine? Here's what I'll do. I'll give you a gun and a uniform, and I'll send you over to Iraq. You think you can figure out what to do without training? Endure hardness is a good soldier. He's going to tear you down. He's going to put you through boot camp. He's going to take you to a place you've never been before. He's going to take you to that place where you go, I just can't take it no more. He's going to say, yeah, keep going. You don't think those drill instructors understand what the pain and agony they're putting those people through? But they know it's for their good. You don't think God understands the pain and agony He's going to put you through, but knows it's for your own good? Knows that it's for your own good. Knows that you have to see it. That you have to see it. That you have to face it. You've got to go there. You have to go there. So strap the boots on and go. You'll never get out of boot camp. You'll never get there. You'll never get to that personal training. Your weapon for all circumstances. God was not such a cruel God. Do you know what He didn't do? He didn't save us and leave us out there hanging. Number one, He gave us a comforter that dwells in us. Number two, He gave us the instructions how to do it. What's your excuse now? I'll tell you what your excuse is. Looking at the mirror in the mirror every day. That's what the excuse is. You. You are the excuse. Then I understood that God would and could do such thing because He is God and wants us to know Him. And about Him and His ways and not man's ways. If you cannot agree that God gave us a perfect Bible in the King James Version, then you cannot or do not agree with God, but man. If you cannot see that God is the one who laid this out for us, then you cannot believe that God is all-powerful and almighty. You can't do it. Because you don't believe that He can preserve a perfect word for us to have. You believe man can do it better. You believe man only what his word says. You know how I know that? Because I see people's lives. I see what they say. That the word of God is not important anymore. They want to kick God out of everything. They want to take the word out of everything. The word means nothing to anybody anymore. The Bible, I mean, man, I used to hear, you know, these people, all the Bible, and where is it anymore? Even in Baptist churches, it's odd to catch somebody carrying the Bible in the church anymore. Me and Brother McVeigh were talking about it last time he was here. How many preachers he's seen now? They're not preaching out of a Bible, they're preaching off a pad sitting in front of them. I mean, an iPad or a Samsung pad, that's what they're preaching off. He goes, brother, it almost blew it. He goes, I just couldn't believe it. That's compromise. Go ahead, keep compromising. I'm just telling you now. If I need to look something up real quick, I'll look at it. It's not like I won't, but they have their place. But you should have your King James Bible in front of you. When I study, I use the Sword of the Lord, or what is it called?
Easter.
But you ask my family if my Bible's not sitting right next to me. I'm just telling you. It's getting to a place where the Word of God means nothing to anybody anymore. And I'm just telling you now, those apps, they compromise. Go look. They're changing the S's and all that in there too. Just telling you, watch out for that stuff. If you cannot agree that God gave us a perfect Bible, the King James Bible, you cannot agree with God, but you agree with man. If you believe God is all powerful, then you must believe. Powerful, then you must believe He can give us a perfect Bible. The dispute is not if you believe in God. So if you believe in God, do you believe He is all powerful and there's nothing He can't do? Most people say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe there's a God. I believe in God. Oh, but then you must believe that He can give us a perfect word. Oh, no. Only man wrote that. Oh, no, man, put that down. If you answered yes, then how could you believe that God can't give us a perfect Bible? Is He so powerless that He cannot accomplish this? How does God move in your life? How does He let you know what He needs you to do? So could God not have done this to the men who penned the Bible? But people believe that what God has written, because He used men to pen it, that it was all written in vain. And they don't believe that God did it. Jeremiah 8:8 says, how do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Talking to the people who say they believe God and His word. Lo, certainly in vain He made it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. They're saying they believe the word of God. They're saying the law is with them. They believe it, but they're saying, but God didn't write that.
Well,
He did it all in vain. That's what they're saying in their hearts. You can find that in Jeremiah 8:8. They don't believe that God could move the men to write what's in here. He's not that powerful, remember. He's only a God that's sitting in a box on their shelf along with the King James Bible that they put over there that's collecting dust. And they're going to listen to some tapes or some sermons or pick up another perverted version of the Bible. That's what I like to call them, perverted versions. I feel like I'm saying a swear word when I call that even a thing a Bible. I don't care what anybody feels about how I feel about it either. I know there's one Bible and I believe God. The one who went to the cross, the one who died for me, gave me a perfect Bible. If I could sit here and beg each and every one of them to show, listen to me, I'm telling you now, my life has never been the same since I got saved and the Lord gave me this instruction manual. I'm telling you that right now. It's never been the same. You can't convince me. It says the scribes believe, that belief makes the word of God to be even truer and man's belief a lie. Could not have God moved to write them what He wanted? God, by the moving of the Holy Ghost, moved men to write what He inspired. The more the people deny it, the more the Bible is shown true. We see this in 2 Peter 1:20-21, says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. Tell you, what do they do with that verse? What do they do with that verse? They think by changing a word that they're making it easier for somebody to read, but they're distorting the whole meaning. They're taking everything and making it their own interpretation of what it means. Do you ever hear, you read in here sometimes there's a Greek word or a Hebrew word that pops up. Do you know what it says after that? And the interpretation is this. God interprets it for you. If he wanted any more than that in there, it would be in there. He'd give it to us, but he don't. He gave us exactly what we needed. There needs to be no more. But they think that they know better. And it says that it's not any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It did not come by the will of man. It says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came in and moved these people, and they put down exactly what God wanted. But man can't settle with that. Do you know that man can't settle with what this is? They think it's some old-time religion. But I'm going to tell you right now, in 2015, this religion is just as beautiful as it was the day God ever put it in the Bible. Ain't nothing old-fashioned about this thing. What's old-fashioned about it? Because it makes you live the way God wants you to live. Do you know what? We're standing the test of time, but people can't see that because they have the money dollar sign in front of their eyes. That's all they see and hear. People are not even concerned about lost souls anymore. They're not worried about what their supposedly trash word Bible says in it. They're not worried about the interpretation. It's okay to take the blood out of places. Victory is in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is what washed Dale Morey clean. But yeah, they'll take that out. It's a sad, it's so sad. The things I believe are not what I have formed from an opinion, but what the Bible has taught me for exactly where it says, what it says, where it says, and who says it. I didn't form an opinion. God gave me a belief. I don't have an opinion about the Bible. My opinion is not what I preach. What I preach is a King James Bible. What I believe is a King James Bible. It's not my opinion. God is teaching me His Word, and it's not an opinion. It's a belief. I believe. It's a relationship that I have with my Father, that I believe His Word that He's given me. Therefore, it's not an opinion. Opinion might be something that I might think. I don't might think about this. I definitely know about this. It's not an opinion. It's a belief. There's a difference between an opinion and a belief. With an opinion, you might change your mind. With a belief, you're not gonna. And I believe this to be the Word of God. The pure, holy Word of God. This is what I believe this to be. That's not an opinion. That's my belief. I'll die by it. May the Lord give me the strength and grace that if I ever came down to it, that I would die for the Bible. That I'd never be able to have the faith that they are holding a gun to my son Luke's head and said, denounce Jesus Christ. I'd say, no, I'm not denouncing it. That's the kind of faith I pray for. You don't believe me, look at my prayer list. Because that might come to pass. And I want to be able to stand there and know that if their gun was ever held to his head, I wouldn't denounce Jesus Christ. And if something happened to him, that Jesus Christ would take care of it. That's the kind of faith I want. I'm sorry. Hey, you know, I'm just trying to sell out here, man. I thank God for what I am and where I am. I thank God for where He's brought me from. It may not mean much to you, but you know what? Sometimes I wish I could do a backflip out the window when I'm singing songs. When I'm sitting there listening to my two children in the back seat praising God. I don't care. You don't have to believe what I believe, but I'm just telling you this. It's not an opinion. I believe that the Lord came inside of me almost 4 years ago, and He's made me into something that He wants. I would have never chosen a Christian life for a lifestyle. I'm telling you that right now. When you say you believe something, typically there's a response to what you say you believe. And it will line up with what you say you believe. If you believe in a King James Bible, it will line up with the King James Bible. If you believe another version, your life will line up with that version. If you have another religion, your life will line up with that religion. Whatever belief system that you claim in your life, it will show that's what you believe, and your life will reflect what you believe or don't believe. Point blank. Point blank. You believe a King James Bible? Listen to me. Endure hardness. Why? Why you gotta go through the afflictions? Because He's trying to make you holy. You believe another version, and nothing changes in their life whatsoever. The way they dress, the music they listen to, the lifestyle. What are they really like when nobody's watching them? What's their heart really like? Who are they really? I'm telling you this right now. When I'm alone, I'm the same person that you see standing right here today.
Amen.
That's a miracle of Jesus Christ. Miracle. Miracle. I don't live two different lives. I don't live two different lifestyles.
Amen.
This is how I live. This is what it's all about. Ask my children, ask my wife. They're there. My kids, you know what? They'll tell on me before anybody else will. They know because they're with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except for when they go to school. I'm just telling you, your life will reflect what you believe. Your life will reflect what you believe. Jeremiah 8:9 says, the wise are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken, though they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? What wisdom is in them that reject the word of the Lord? Oh, they have the almighty wisdom. Their life is falling apart in misery and everything else, but they have the wisdom? Thanks, but no thanks. You go ahead and keep what you got. I don't want it. The Lord saved me from that kind of baloney. He saved me from that kind of lifestyle. He saved me from that kind of garbage. Why do I want it? As a saved person, He said He's going to make me into something new and something different. That's what I want. I don't want to stay the same old person doing the same old thing. Well, just because you add Jesus in the lyrics and then all of a sudden it's a Christian song. What about taking the blood out of your so-called Bible? How do you get that? How do you get around all that? I don't want that garbage. And your wiggle hiney church? I did dancing in clubs for years. A lot of XTC, smoking dope and everything else. That's what I want. You go to a club. You go to a club here in the next few weeks. Just step in there and tell me you won't hear some so-called Christian music playing in the clubs. I guarantee you'll hear it. And they think it's okay. They're okay with that. God saved me from that. He saved me from it. So what wisdom would these people have? Let me ask you something. How has it helped America? How has it helped America get rid of the only thing God gave us, the King James Bible? I mean, He gave us Himself, but they're kicking all that out. So how has it helped us? Sure hasn't made us any better. It says, what wisdom is in that? Those who deny that the King James Bible is the Word of God and is perfect. There's no wisdom in them. None. They deny it. Deny it. How did God say He would preserve the Word? Through Him and the Jewish people. Psalm 12, 6 through 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever means forever, no matter what you believe. There is no end to God preserving His Word. The number 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection or completeness. Some say it is the number of God the Father. I believe God is powerful enough to be able to preserve His Word. It's been purified 7 times. It's perfect. Why would He have to change it anymore? It's done. But people can't, you know what? They can't settle for that. They'd rather settle for 6. The number of man. That's what they'd rather settle for. They'd rather settle for somebody giving them what they want to hear so they can continue to live the lifestyle they live. Most people run from a King James Bible because they don't like to see what it says about them. I know I was one of those. But you know what? There just comes a point in time in your life where you have to wave the white flag and say, I'm done. Lord, You're right. Let's just, you know what? Teach me. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. I believe the Word of God, but You got to help me to live it. I can't do this thing on my own. You know what? He's faithful. He says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and preserve them from this generation forever. Forever means forever. Some say it is the number of God the Father. I believe He's powerful enough to preserve His Word. Everybody in here just raised their hand and said, yeah, God is all powerful. There's nothing He can't do. Then if there's nothing He can't do, then why couldn't He give us the Word of God perfectly? In the next verse, we see the Word will come from Micah 4:2. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the Word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God preserved His own Word, and He preserved it with the Jewish people. He preserved it. He can do that. He's God. Why can't He do it? Can anybody in this room give me a reason why they think God cannot preserve a perfect Word and give it to us today? that we are to live by? I don't think so. I don't think so. In the Bible, hang on, let me go back. In the New Testament, who was the ones the Lord saved and wrote the New Testament? Paul, John, Matthew, Peter, etc. Were they not all Jewish? Paul himself, a Jew, a Pharisee, and a part of the Sanhedrin, refers to the Old Testament more than any other. Why do you think that is? Because he knew part of his Jewish heritage from God was to preserve the Word of God. Paul knew that. He understood that was part of his heritage, was to preserve what God, to preserve the Word of God. Paul understood that. And then he went back and he quotes the Old Testament more than anybody. He's preserving that. If God cannot give us a perfect Bible that He and His people have preserved, then how can we trust Him for salvation to preserve us until the coming and throughout eternity? If you can't trust God that He's all-powerful enough to give us a perfect Word, then how can you even trust Him for salvation? How can you trust Him that He's going to preserve you now and then through eternity? How can you trust Him for that? How can you skip over the whole trusting Him to give us a perfect Word and just going to trust Him for your eternity? Can you tell me that? That doesn't make sense to me. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what it says. So how are you just going to jump right over the whole trusting His Word, but you can trust Him for salvation, you can trust Him for eternity, but you can't trust His Word, you can't trust that He can give us a good Bible? In the Bible, God gives us a warning not to change His Word in Revelations 22:18 through 20. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from these things which are written in the book. He that which testifieth these things, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. This is also found in the book of Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Then why would one think that it's okay to do so in the NIV, ASVB, and etc.? Why is it okay? I really want to get through this first part. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and this life was the light of all men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth not. There a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but it was sent to bear the witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now here we go. And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Everybody knows that that Word is talking about Jesus Christ. If that's the case, they say they understand the Lord's grace. But the verse ends with, He is full of truth. If Jesus Christ is full of truth, then you can't believe one and not the other. One must believe that Jesus is speaking the truth. So we also read here that God is the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and that would be Jesus. So if Jesus is the Word, and if He is God, then we read in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus doesn't change, and He is the Word of God, then why would His Word change? Tell me. If Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, then why would His Word change if He is the Word? People don't have that down. They don't have it right. They change His Word, and it doesn't even bother. Listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He doesn't change, then His Word wouldn't change. Is He a liar that the that the word cannot have been changed to make it right, or is man doing so to fit his lifestyle? I believe man's changing the word of God to fit his lifestyle. What he believes, his religion, and what he thinks should have been written. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We have God's good word. We have his perfect word. And if Jesus Christ is not going to change, and he is the word, is that what it said? The word was made flesh? Then why would they try to change his words? Why? They're trying to change Jesus to fit their lifestyle. They're trying to change Jesus to fit in what they believe. They're trying to bring Jesus down to their level. Remember, he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But people are taking and trying to bring Jesus Christ down to that level. Trying to bring them down to their level. And I'm just telling you now, it's not ever going to work. There are people in those churches reading those Bibles, listen to that music and stuff. Listen to me. They're falling off into hell by the dozens. They're following exact. Remember what the devil said. I will be like the Most High. The devil has his own religion. He has his own word. He's got his own music. And these people are falling for it. These people are dropping off into the flames of hell. And listen, when I get into this next week, you're going to see more and more why I believe this is the Word of God. Why I believe that God can give us a perfect Word of God. If you just think somebody says, hey, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe the King James Bible is the pure and perfect Word of God, then say, then you believe in a powerless God. You don't believe in the same God I believe in. Because my God can keep anything he wants, lose anything he wants. I mean, there's nothing that he cannot do. With man, nothing is impossible. God, all things are possible. And if that is the case, and you really believe God is all powerful, then he can keep this word. He can give us a perfect word. And I'm done.